And good afternoon. It is a Tuesday, August the 8th, 2017, 12:14 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and we have got a great program today that I hope you will stay tuned for. A lot of current events talk and things going on in the world, so stay tuned. First up, though, one of my favorite people. His resume reads like no other. He is a former host of NBC's Meet the Press. He was Edward R. Murrow's last hand-chosen journalist to become part of Murrow's Boys. He ended up on President Nixon's enemies list. And later this year, on October 1st, his 15th book, you heard that right, 15th book, but first memoir, The Year I Was Peter the Great, 1956, Khrushchev, Stalin's Ghost, and a Young American in Russia, will be released. You can pre-order that now on Amazon.com. It can only be one person, the one and only Marvin Kalb. Marvin, how are you?
I'm fine, Scott. That's a very kind introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, it's a tremendous life for certain. Marvin, before we get into the current events of the day, because we just have 20 minutes here, but why write the memoir now?
That's a good question. I think that it ends up with the pressure that was brought to bear by my 11, 12-year-old grandson and my 9-year-old granddaughter. They kept on listening to stories that I would tell at the dinner table. And one day one of them said, "Grandpa, you have written 14 books about wars and presidential campaigns and all kinds of other things. Why don't you write a story about yourself?" And I try to explain to them that as a reporter, I always felt extremely uncomfortable talking about myself. I'd much rather talk about other people, other events that I was covering. I always had a feeling that if I wrote about myself, I would somehow be in violation of the first tenet of journalism, which is don't allow emotions to get into the telling of a story. But at a certain point, Scott, which the thing that fascinated me, and I recommend it, by the way, to all of your listeners, think about stories that you have told your children. Fascinating stories that cannot be duplicated because you're the only one who lived them. And in this particular case, with this 15th book, The Year I Was Peter the Great, which, by the way, is a marvelous story how that title came to be, but I was eager to do something that would be nice for my grandkids, but at the same time, tell a story that might be of interest to a lot of people. And how does one get to be a journalist? How does one get to be a, quote, Russia expert? How does one get to be sent to Moscow at age 25? How do you get to be selected by Edward R. Murrow? All of these things are wonderful stories, and I live them, and I wanted to share the experience as best I could.
And I cannot wait to have you back on, hopefully for the full hour when the book is released. That'll be a lot of fun. But again, October 1st it's released, but you can pre-order on Amazon now. Being the Russian expert that you are, Marvin, common question here. With the information that's been shown to us, and we leak a little more every day, do you believe at this point that the Russians colluded with Donald Trump on last year's election?
It's the question of the hour. It's the question that every journalist in Washington has been grappling with now for months. My own feeling on this, and I have not, I hasten to add, I have not covered it on a daily basis, so I don't want to mislead anybody. But my own gut feeling is that I am not positive about the collusion, but I am certain of several things. One, the Russians made a determined effort to try very hard to shift the election in Trump's direction. That means that they sent out an awful lot of information, which ended up on right-wing talk shows, but as well on middle-of-the-road talk shows and newspapers, magazines, that made negative things about Hillary Clinton stand out and negative things about Trump be downplayed. So at the end of the day, what is certain is that the Russians wanted Trump to win. Now, question, were they then in collusion with Trump to enforce that end? And here it gets a little murky. There is not as yet a smoking gun, according to which somebody would say, in the way that John Dean did during the Watergate scandal, somebody would come forth and say, I heard Donald Trump say this to a Russian, which led to X. That has not happened as yet. It is possible that it will happen. We don't know that. We do know that there are many investigations into that collusion theme that are now underway. One or two of them may turn out to be the smoking gun, and it could be that at the end of the day there will be no smoking gun. However, there is one other aspect of the story that is truly fascinating. When you go back to the Watergate scandal, at that particular time, the president did order a number of people to break into the psychiatrist's office of one of the key players at that time. That was illegal, but that was not the reason that President Nixon decided to resign one step ahead of impeachment. The reason had to do with a lot of other things that involved cover-up. So it may not, at the end of the day, with this president, as it was with President Nixon, it may not be the act that was officially declared to be illegal, but it was the cover-up of the act that produced a series of illegal actions. So let's see. I mean, everybody has to sit back at this point and try to put the emotion out of his or her voice and his or her heart. And let's just see where the evidence takes us.
And on that note, we are just 200 days into President Trump's term. How do you grade him? You've seen a lot of presidents come and go.
Yes. Well, thank you. That is true. I have seen a lot. It goes back all the way to Eisenhower's time. It shocks me when I say that, but it's true. I think that this president, up to this point, would be given a C or a C minus in a classroom for generating national trust in what it is that he's doing. According to all of the polls, I know the president calls them all fake polls, but a lot of them are good, honest, hardworking pollsters, and they all appear to agree that somewhere at about 35 to 40% of the American people believe that Donald Trump has not, they are the only people who believe that Donald Trump has in fact produced trust for the American people in what it is that he's doing. And that means that 60% of the American people have no confidence, no trust in what it is that he's doing. That, to me, is an incredibly important fact, if it be called that. It's a poll result. And I think that he has failed utterly in the area of foreign policy. You travel around the world, Scott, and what you will find is that foreign governments, foreign reporters, foreign scholars are bewildered by many of the things that President Trump has said and some of the things that he's done. And the United States of America, which has always been known for democracy, for freedom, is now known around the world as a nation that sides with Putin in Russia and Erdogan in Turkey. That's not where we have been for most of our lives as a nation. So for domestic policy and foreign policy, I don't think he has done all that well, but it's only 6 months and it's a long time yet to go.
Why did Vladimir Putin not want to see Hillary Clinton come to power?
That's a good question, and it probably goes back to that time in 2012 when Putin was running for his third term in office. And at that time, there were demonstrations all over Russia, really hundreds of demonstrations and thousands of people out on the streets saying, Russia без Путина, Russia without Putin. They were constantly holding up signs denouncing Putin. And Putin believed that Hillary Clinton, who was then Secretary of State, was behind all of these demonstrations, that she had instigated it. And as a result, he has always blamed her for the fact that his election to a third term was marred by people out in the streets denouncing him, and he didn't want her to be president. And with Trump, this is something, by the way, that we don't know as yet, but there are many, many stories that Donald Trump Jr., for example, said back in 08 or 07 that his dad and many of his associates were very heavily dependent upon millions of Russian dollars coming into the United States in support of a Trump business enterprise. So whether that in any way colored Trump's relationship with Putin, I don't know, but Putin always felt closer to Trump than he did to Hillary.
Something that's kind of interesting, a book that will be coming out in September is a book by Hillary Clinton. We found out recently that the title of that book will be What Happened, a book describing why she lost the last election.
Right.
Why write this book? Why now? It seems an odd thing to do.
Not necessarily, Scott. I remember that immediately after President Nixon left office in 1974, he sat down and wrote the first of what turned out to be a number of books, giving what he described as his side of the story. He said he did not want reporters to be those who would determine what it is that he actually did and why. And I think that Clinton is pretty much in that same camp. She wants to tell her story as quickly as she can in order to counter what it is that she feels is Trump's unfair description of the election and what happened. I think that it was such a stunning shock to her and all of her supporters that she lost, that she felt, and has stated several times, that she has an obligation to her supporters to give them what she takes to be the absolute truth about what happened last year. Whether it is going to be seen as the truth, who knows? I haven't read the book, and I don't think anybody has as yet except her editor. But at this particular point, she felt the need to get her side of the story out as quickly as possible.
Final question here for you, Marvin. If, and it's an if question, if we do find out that there was collusion between Trump and the Russian government, a lot of people feel that President Trump would be impeached or he would resign so he wouldn't face trial. If that happened, would the country just be happy with the line of secession to go down to Pence? Would they be okay with Hillary Clinton being the truly elected president, but just, oh well, too bad, Russia interfered?
Well, first of all, if the president felt the need as a result of impeachment to resign or to stand trial, who knows what would happen. My own feeling would be that we do have a vice president, and the vice president, namely Mike Pence, would be sworn into office to take over the official responsibilities of the chief executive. I think that is written into the rules of the game, and that is what would happen. A lot, however, must be open. Possibilities exist that could go in many different ways. We're at a point now, I am sorry to say, that we have never been at before as a nation. We've never had this kind of president as yet in our history. We don't know exactly what is going to happen. We all have the feeling that we're walking on eggs that are about to explode as if they were dynamite sticks. We are living through history, very major moment in American history. And when you live through history, you don't have the opportunity to read about it. The only thing you have is the opportunity to live through it, absorb as much of the excitement, danger, as you possibly can, and use your head. Because I think we're all going to be required to use our head probably in the next year. Batten down the hatches and let's see what happens.
Perfect way to end. The absolute best. Marvin Kalb. Thank you, Marvin.
Not at all, Scott. God bless. Bye.
Bye-bye. And we are going to keep the transition going on here. We're going to take a quick break, come back with professor and author Larry Guerra. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, the voices that you want to hear. Marianne Michaels reading a poem by Nan Britton, the mother of the daughter of President Warren G. Harding.
And it's called Her Eyes by Nan Britton. Sometimes her eyes are blue as deep sea blue, and calm as water stilted at evenfall. I see not quite my child in these blue eyes, but him whose soul shines wondrously through her. Serene and unafraid he was, and knew how to dispel the fears in other hearts. Meeting an anxious gaze, all tranquility. These are her father's eyes. Sometimes her eyes are blue, the azure blue of an October sky on mountaintops. I do not see my child in these blue eyes. They are the eyes of him whose spirit glowed with happiness of soul alone, which lies far deeper than the depths of bluest eyes, whose smile a thing of joy it was to see. These eyes, this smile, are his. Sometimes her eyes are of a tired gray blue, filled with the sadness of an age-old world. And then again, my child's not in these eyes. These are the eyes of one whom grief assailed, whom disappointment crushed with its great weight. Around his head a halo memory, reflecting that refiner's fire which purged clean and made him what he was. Sometimes, in child amaze and wonder blue, her baby eyes are lifted up to mine. These only are the eyes she brought with her, and so I fold her close within my arms and talk of dolls and stars and mother love, for well I know that pitifully soon she will be grown, and then her eyes will hold only the deeper lights his own eyes knew.
You ought to get a job reading books, Marianne. That was very good.
That's great.
Thank you.
That is the introduction to the president's daughter.
WWG Radio 107.1 FM, the voices you want to hear. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
Scott Spears back with you here on this Tuesday, August the 8th, 2017, 33 minutes past the hour. We want to thank former CBS, NBC News correspondent, host of Meet the Press, and one of Edward R. Murrow's boys who ended up on Nixon's enemies list, Marvin Kalb, for joining us for the first 15 minutes today. And we've got Dr. Ron Feinman coming up next hour, author and political science. But to round out this hour, we're joined by somebody right here in our own home state of Ohio. He is an author, college professor, who has been in the thick of things for quite a while, Larry Guerra. Larry, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
Good to talk with you. Larry, I don't think we have spoken since the election last year. So how do you think President Trump is doing at just over 200 days?
Well, it scares the heck out of me. I don't think he's doing well at all. I don't think he's presidential. He acts like a little kid, and he says things that irritate all the other world leaders. I mean, that's not good sense. It's scary.
But there is a group that will support him no matter what. Why is that?
Well, I think they have been so disillusioned with past things, and then, of course, they dislike Hillary Clinton so much, and they I don't know why they stick with him. Apparently, quite a few now are deciding that they made a mistake, but not many of them.
Why do you think Hillary Clinton was so disliked?
Well, I think she is not a likable person. I don't think she did very well in the campaign. She accepted very high-paying fees for speaking, and she didn't put on a good campaign. I don't know what was wrong, but anyway, I voted for her, but I wasn't too happy about her, to be honest with you.
If you would have had your choice of anybody who ran last year, period, primaries, the whole thing, who would you have chosen?
Bernie Sanders.
Why Bernie Sanders?
Because I thought he had good ideas and knew how to, you know, how to make them work. He had been in the Senate for quite a while and done some good things, and he has a lot of sense, I think.
Not
perfect, but he had a lot of sense.
What do you say to the people? Because the knock on Bernie Sanders was, we won't be able to pay for what he wants to do.
Well, we seem to have enough money for those bombs and other things which are not only not protecting us, but really threatening us. You know, we lost, can you believe this, 11 nuclear weapons. We had no idea where they went.
How can something like that happen?
We actually lost a lot more, but we know of 11 that we lost, and we don't even know how many we have, actually. It's really scary to have a man as irresponsible as Trump in power with those nuclear weapons at hand. And he talked about them as though they're just weapons. Well, they're not. They could destroy life on planet Earth if they had a total nuclear war.
We seem to be not on the greatest of terms with North Korea right now. How do you see that going?
Not very well. I think you have two very irresponsible people in command. I think they should do what they can to negotiate with them. But in order to negotiate with them, we want them to stop their nuclear program. Of course, that's the whole point of the negotiations, and you can't have that as a basis for having a negotiation. He's very unpredictable, too. He's really bad news. That means the leader of North Korea.
What happened in this country that allowed Donald Trump to get elected? CNN did a great special last night with Fareed Zakaria on why Trump won. It was that the elites, the professors, the media have become the Democratic Party, and people feel that they're told what to do. And that's why he became president. Do you ascribe to any of that?
That's possible. I suppose there are a number of reasons why people voted for Trump, most of them not assuming he'd ever be elected. But I don't know why he became the candidate. That's what bothers me. And apparently there was interference with that election. We don't know how much or what went on, but actually when it comes to popular votes, Hillary got twice as many. So we have a strange electoral system, to say the least.
So when you look at that Republican primary last year, one of the people in it was our own governor, John Kasich, who seems to be getting a lot of attention these days. Why didn't people go toward a John Kasich instead of a Donald Trump?
Well, he didn't accept the extremism of part of that party, and he made a lot of sense. I like him. I'm not a Republican, but I liked him. He did some good things, and he just didn't ring a bell with people. They weren't looking for that good common sense of the old style.
John Kasich has written a book. He will be no longer our governor next year. Do you see John Kasich running for president in 2020?
I don't know. I doubt it. Unless the party changes, because you do have this group of Tea Party people who are just as off base as Trump himself. In fact, they like him, and they still do. And he couldn't even get his law passed on the health care, which I'm very happy about. It was a terrible law that they were putting in, or trying to put in. But even Trump isn't left-wing enough for them at all. Counts.
Health care is a big deal. John McCain ended up becoming the vote that counted. He voted against the bill that was in the Senate a couple weeks ago. Why are all of these senators and congressmen who campaigned on repeal and replace Obamacare having trouble doing that?
Well, I don't know. you mean having trouble voting against the affordable health care bill?
Yeah. What, they have control of the Republicans, have control of the
right.
Senate and the House. Why can't they get a bill through there that would get rid of Obamacare, which is what they said they were going to do?
Well, they don't seem to be able to find talent to write such a bill. The bill they had was terrible. And finally they decided they would put it off and then try later. But, you know, they don't seem to be able to deal. Health care is a very difficult subject, really, to deal with. And my own feeling is we should have a single payer, put everybody on Medicare. But, of course, that would be expensive, but not nearly as expensive as what it would be if they passed that Republican bill. And then they say that's socialism. Well, it may be socialism, but it's good enough for the people in Congress.
Well, that is interesting. Do you foresee the Republicans ever getting anything together to take care of Obamacare?
I don't know. I wouldn't predict anything. This is a very unpredictable administration. I mean, just look at all the people who came and went in the cabinet. It would be crazy to try to predict what's going to happen. I don't know.
What do you?
It doesn't look to me like they're going to be able to get rid of it. But now Trump is saying that he'll let it kill itself. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know what he'll do. Everything he can to make it a failure. That's for sure.
What do you make of the investigation into Russian collusion? From what you've seen so far, what do you think?
I think that some of the Trump people, including his son-in-law, wanted to work with the Russians. In fact, I even heard him at one point asking Putin to publish more information. Of course, a lot of it was false. You don't know what was false and what was true, but it's scary to have them involved in our elections, and they certainly were involved, or to a point. I don't know what the effect was, how much difference it makes, but they were involved, and that's scary.
You know, it's kind of interesting, Larry, because two states really made this election. Had Pennsylvania and Michigan went for Clinton, she would have won. Now, the interesting thing is that she was ahead 11 points the day before the election in Pennsylvania, and in Michigan, she only lost by 2 votes per precinct. Now, we learned last week, for the first time, that there was actually a war room in Washington the day of the election monitoring voting machines to make sure votes were not changed. Is it a possibility that Russians did hack into the election system?
I think so. I think it is, although I don't know, how, again, to what effect it would have or how much difference it would make, but I think they did. And certainly Kushner wanted to work with the Russians. In fact, he said he was delighted when they first said that they had information against Hillary. Of course, all that information wasn't necessarily accurate. I mean, a lot of it was fake news, you know.
Why do so many people, when we bring up this Russian thing, say, just let it go, let Trump be president, he won, forget about it? They don't even want to talk about it.
Well, I think we should, because there'll be other elections and they'll do similar things if they can. And I think we ought to protect ourselves against that kind of, it's really an assault on our system. It's not something that's over and done with. And in fact, if it was, Trump wouldn't be so determined not to have it investigated. I think that's very stupid, because if he was clear totally, why would he worry about the investigation? He would say, great, I'm clear. But he says, I'm clear without the investigation. And he even talked about pardoning himself. I mean, really, that's a strange thing for a president to say, isn't it?
Well, that beckons a question, because two things happened last week of high importance, and we'll start with the first one. Mueller, who's the investigator here, formed a grand jury, or is looking to form a grand jury, which means there are probably going to be indictments, we would say. Not to say that President Trump will be indicted, but what do you think Mueller is finding? He's saying he's looking into finances now. Does the formation of a grand jury sound bad for our president?
Well, it doesn't sound good. Actually, he is making money yet. He still looks at the government as a business. He still makes money from that hotel, which is near the White House, and he has not... And, of course, he said that anybody who's indicted or tried, he would clear them, or he would pardon them, and even himself, if he could. I mean, it's just... It's a strange, unbelievable situation, really, when you consider our history, the history of our elections and so forth. Of course, we did live through the Nixon era, but Nixon has a good sense to resign.
Well, the other interesting story we got over the weekend was that Vice President Pence is planning to run or to take over, or forming a team to become president. Now, quickly, he refuted that. But is that a bad sign that the vice president is thinking he's on his way to this?
It's bad if he's just another, if he's going to work with the same people that Trump appointed, because he has people in there. For instance, the person head of the EPA wants to eliminate the EPA. I mean, can you believe it? I just can't believe that they're trying to do these things. But they are.
We have a person on next hour, Dr. Ron Fineman, who says that Trump will either leave office or be impeached by May of next year, May of 2018. That being said, if that does happen, do you think the country would be fine with the line of secession? That they would say, okay, Trump colluded with the Russians, and that's, you know, he's gone, so now we're going to go to Mike Pence, and that's that? Or do you think there would be an uprising to say, you fooled with this election, we elected the wrong person, and do something in that regard? Could something like that happen?
Oh, absolutely. You could have a mini civil war. I it's scary, because some of these people are determined to have that kind of a government, which is really an old government. They talk about making America great again. That was a time when we lynched African Americans for little or no cause often, and it was a terrible time for a lot of people. It wasn't so great.
You say you did not like Hillary Clinton as a candidate, but if in fact we find out that the Russians colluded to take the election away from her, do you think she should just go by the wayside and say, well, I really won that election, but too bad?
Well, I can't decide for her. I think it would be a tough sell now, really. I mean, there are her strong followers, but a lot of people voted for her because Trump was so bad. I don't know. I don't know. And I'm not sure she'd be elected. That's the worst of it.
Well, the interesting thing is would Trump getting in trouble over this, would that hurt the Republican Party, or is he such an outsider that it really wouldn't affect them at all?
Well, a lot of the people in the party now are supporting him and people to the right of him. So I don't think it would. The party's in real trouble, and I'm sorry to hear that. I think we need a two-party system. But I think they're in real trouble.
When did the Republican Party get away from people like the Speaker of the House and Mitt Romney and the Bush family? When did the Republican Party leave them and turn into the party of Trump?
I don't know. It probably was Vietnam hit it. And I don't know. I really don't know.
When you think about where we are today, how would you describe the United States of America to somebody who doesn't live here?
Well, I would say we are in a time of real trouble. Real trouble. Because we don't know what this president is going to do. And he even talks about using nuclear weapons. And that would be the end of so much. I don't know. You know, he seems to be so determined to win, whatever winning is. I don't know. For instance, in Afghanistan, they're discussing what they should do. Well, we've been there for a long time, and it hasn't done any good. I don't know. I'm no prophet.
Is there any thought given to the idea that this is a witch hunt? That's what President Trump called it last week, that this is a witch hunt by the Democrats to say, we lost the election, we're angry about it, so we're going to make your life miserable. Is that possible?
I don't think so. I think special prosecutor is not. In fact, I thought he was one time a Republican. But anyway, I don't think it is a witch hunt. I think it's people concerned about what's going on and what might go on, and they want to know what did go on. And so much is secret now, they won't even have a press conference.
You have lived through radio, television being the big methods of communication, newspaper. Now it's tweets. What do you make of his tweets? They're being recorded in the National Archive.
Well, first of all, I don't tweet. I don't even know about it. As you know, I messed up the notice of this thing, this talk today. What was the question now?
The tweets. Do you like the tweets?
No, I do not.
I think they're
silly.
What do you think that's going to say about us when somebody looks back on that 50 years from now?
Well, they'll probably say much the same as they say about Harding and I think they will say he's a very bad president. I mean, if we still have a president.
How big of a constitutional crisis is this whole thing shaping up to be?
A big one. This is a major one. Every person who knows what's going on and observes things and is fair, no matter what party, will say this is a big crisis.
Where does it rank in comparison to Nixon, who resigned, and Bill Clinton, who was impeached but did not resign?
Well, I think it ranks a lot like Nixon, to be honest with you. Except, again, Nixon has the good sense to retire, to leave office.
Do you think...
Trump might do that too, you know, and spend the rest of his life capitalizing on the fact that he got fished out. I don't know. That might be his plan. You don't know what's in his mind. I think he is mentally unfit. I think he has problems that need to be resolved, and I just can't believe that he's getting away with what he's getting away with, having his family run the country.
When you make
after all, his son-in-law wasn't elected to anything, and he's one of the most powerful people in the country when it comes to political affairs now.
When you say that President Trump is mentally unstable, what signs of that put you of that opinion?
Well, some of the things he said, he contradicts himself. He'll say somebody. Putin was just wonderful until, the senator. Senator who was, came back to vote.
McCain.
Can't think of his name McCain. Now. You know who I mean?
Yeah, Senator McCain.
McCain. He said he's so wonderful when he came back, but then when he voted wrong, then he was terrible. I mean, this is not the sign of somebody who's, you know, stable or knows what he's doing. He changes his mind from time to time, and he'll even change the fact that he lost the popular vote. He said he won it because all the people who voted against him were illegal voters. I mean, and that's pure BS. Everybody who's worked on the matter of illegal voting have... proved that there has been very, very little.
What do you make of his relationship with the media?
Well, of course, the media has to report some of the things he does, and if they report what he does, then he thinks they're attacking him. some are, of course. There are some stations and so forth that do spend a lot of time attacking him. On the other hand, he would like it all to be the opposite. Everybody's saying nice things no matter what he does.
You know, Larry, this is the quandary of a lot of people in the media today. What is the difference between reporting what he does and an attack? Because the problem is that if you report on something he does that people find bad, it's automatically an attack, whether you give your opinion or not.
Right.
So how do you get around that?
I don't know that you can. That's your job.
I know.
I think of course, the media has been very biased in part, too. We must admit that. And I don't think that the people who are investigating this whole thing are after him or committed. I think they're trying to be fair. I think that the guy he calls the head of the witch hunt, I think, is being a fair investigator.
Well, question.
In fact, he put him in.
Right.
When
well,
it came to it. But I don't know.
An interesting question. Here in about a month, the beginning of September, Hillary Clinton will release a book called "What Happened," describing what happened in last year's election. What do you make of her writing a book like that?
Oh, that's fine. The more the better. I think that's fine. I think she should do that.
Do you think that book will be well received?
Well, by some. And others not, obviously. She's become a very controversial character now. But I don't know how many will be sold. You know, I can't tell about that. I've written a couple, but I can never tell which one will sell and which one won't. I've never sold a lot. I have a book on Franklin Pierce that sold very well because it was in a series of books of the presidency. And but it's hard to predict sales. Of course, there are an awful lot of loyal Democrats who will buy that book, I suppose. I don't know.
Who is the viable Democrat right now that can run against President Trump should he stay to 2020?
That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe one of the governors. Maybe one of the people in the Senate. I really don't know.
Do you like an...
I know Sherrod Brown, I think, would be a wonderful candidate, but I hope he doesn't run because... he's such a good senator to me. I think he's great.
Do you think that there could be an Al Franken or a Bernie Sanders again or an Elizabeth Warren?
Possibly. Anything's possible today.
If we find out that there is collusion, could there be another Hillary Clinton run?
Well, there could be. I hope it isn't. I mean, I think it would be tough on her. I don't think she would do it. I mean, I may be wrong, but... after all, she tried so hard, and it was such a horrible ending. I don't know whether she'd try it.
I think the book sales are going to tell the story on that, because she's going to be on a book tour, and people are going to ask her if she'd run again, and if she hem-haws at all and says, I don't know, but I don't think so, to me, if she leaves the door open, that's an interesting sign.
Well, that's possible. That's very possible. You know, everything is so unpredictable today, Scott. I mean, it's not the usual times. They aren't even predictable, but today is especially unpredictable.
I think that's exactly right. Larry, I thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope we can do it again real soon.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed talking with you. Sorry I couldn't be of more information, but I'm only one guy.
No, your take is great. Thank you, Larry.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Larry Guerra. And we're going to take a 10-minute timeout here and come back with Dr. Ron Fineman. More talk right after this.
Can put behind him, but how many people would vote for him? I don't think very many.
WWGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. The Talking Place. Find us on Facebook by Sirius GH. Marion, Ohio.